righteous anger is our meditation from this chapter 5 of Nehemiah. And there are three thoughts that we want to consider. When anger was right, verse 1 to 8, and wrong made right, verse 9 to 13, undergirded by personal example from verses 14 to 19. Jesus began his teaching ministry on earth with the record of the Sermon on the Mount. And in the introduction is the Beatitudes. What are the habits of those who exemplify the subjects of God's kingdom? He tells us that the blessedness of the poor in spirit and they that mourn. Remember, we have studied this before. It is a good reminder because these are the kingdom characteristics that we ought to rehearse and check ourselves by. Then he says, blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This fourth beatitude speaks both of internal attitude and an external disposition. The spirit-filled conscience seek to be saturated with the truth of God's word, and the satisfaction, I believe, comes when one let the word of God rule in the heart and the action. So the person who is filled with the Spirit of God would have a thirst and a hunger after the things of God, after the word of God, after the ways of God, after the righteousness of God. And so when the child of God would act according to the truth of God, then you find that this person's life is very much in accordance to the will of God. And one of the responses of a transformed heart is to be angry at sin. A heart that understands the will of God, and a heart that would be angry when you see that the will of God, that the holiness of God is trampled upon. So when the Spirit of God would fill a person, such a person would seek to do the will of God and live a life of holiness before God. So it is not only an external disposition, but it's also an internal attitude. And when such a person is careful and is hungering after righteousness, then he would order his life in the fear of God. This was who Jeremiah was. He was one who ruled his life, and God would use him as an instrument of righteousness to help others. Verse 15 was his own testimony. He says, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. He understood his position in the sight of God. It is rightful for him as a governor to exact taxes from the people, but he did not do so in the fear of God. He knew his mission was to help the people, and he did not want to be a burden to them. And God has endowed him sufficiently to meet his personal needs as the king's cupbearer. And you know, the text also tells us that he has 150 people that he has to take care of for every meal. That's a very large household. and all on his own expenses. And so when the news that the wealthy Jews had ignored the desperate needs of the poorer Jews, and that some of them were exploiting the situation, the whole building program was in jeopardy. Remember, we were discussing in chapter 4 how they were all in one spirit building and defending. They knew that there were enemies without, and they had their sword girded beside them, and they went about the building work. But the enemies were not just outsiders. And that's what we saw. That's what we saw the external enemies last week in chapter 4. But here in chapter 5, we are going to see the trouble that came within. The trouble was that there were these poorer Jews who were exploited by the richer ones because they exacted taxes upon the people. So we want to look at this first thought. When anger was right, Nehemiah knew about it, and he was very concerned. Verse 1 says, "And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews." And for there were that said, "We, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Also there were those that said, 'We mortgage our lands, vineyards, houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth.'" There was a famine in the land. And the poorer people who could not put food on the table had to mortgage their property. It is a situation whereby you see perhaps a hyperinflation. Prices are going up high, and you know, most part of their salary would have been used to buy food. And still it was not enough. So there were those Jews who had to mortgage their property in order to put food on the table. And there were those who also borrowed. And they borrowed because there were taxes that they had to pay to the Persian government. And then there were also the sad plight that when they borrowed from their own people, their own people exacted usury upon them. And when they could not pay, they forced their children into slavery. And so it was a very troubled time among the builders. You remember, you would notice that it was a mixed multitude of Jews that were doing the building work. Right? And there were those who were poor, and there were those who were wealthy. And so there was this squabble that was going on. Right? The rich, well, they felt that this was their due. But the Word of God tells them that they are forbidden to charge interest for loans given to their own brethren. Right? Exodus 22:25 is a text. "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury," meaning that no interest is to be charged. Help them if you have the means. No. And we are told that the interest rate of a 12% per annum was charged. The text tells us 1/100th part was exacted upon the people. And this is equivalent to a 12% interest. And for those who are unable to pay, then they were brought as slaves for collateral. So, you know, and we understand that 12% interest for any loan is very high to pay. Right? So if you borrow a large amount, that amount can exceed your income or most of your household income. And so these poor Jews were in trouble. One pastor observed and said very well, he says this, that they were operating as heartless businessmen, exacting for their own financial gain at the expense of these poorer brethren. And so Nehemiah, as the leader who is in charge of this building program, realized that if this dispute, this trouble is not resolved, then there would be problems. Right? The poorer ones would by and by have to fall out of the work. And so Nehemiah was troubled. And when he heard the cry of the people, verse 6 tells us that his anger was kindled in his heart. He says this, verse 6, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words." And so this was the situation concerning the people. And he knew that there was trouble within, and he had to do something. What did he do? Well, he knew that something was wrong and that it was not accordance to the will of God. That's why trouble came. And what did he do? You see, verse 7, this was what he did. "Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them." He was angry because the people had sinned against God by charging wrongful interest upon the people. And he knew from the word of God that it was something that had to be dealt with. And you know that in his situation and in his position, to deal with the problem require him to confront this rich man. And you would notice that he did not hesitate to confront them, but he did not stop short at anger. He did not just become very angry, you know, and charge at them and blasted them, but he did something that was needful. He cooled down. He consulted with himself. Again, this pastor analyzed it very well. He says, "Before Nehemiah contended with the guilty ones of exploiting the poor, he consulted with himself." That is significant. He didn't go off in a rage to blast those who were wrong. He stopped, cooled off, fought and prayed things through, and only then took action. Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And so it was a very calm approach that he took. He knew that it was something that was not right, and he knew that action had to be taken, but he knew that it had to be done in a godly, biblical way. And so he courageously gathered the people for a meeting, and he gathered the people to witness the wrong that was committed, so that the exploiters had no way to hide the wrong done against their brethren. What did he do? he had the facts, he gathered the information, and he confronted the people who were guilty of this. He did not turn a blind ear to the cries of the pleading brethren. But to do something require courage on his part. Men who are greedy, when they are exposed, they can turn violent. So he knew what he was up against, but he knew that it has to be done. The matter has to be corrected. So he presented all the facts, he brought the people together, so that there was no way the guilty ones could escape but to admit their mistake. So you see the response at the end of verse 8. They held their peace and found nothing to answer. So he was brutally, if I may put it, objective in his approach. It was factual, based on the scripture and evidence. So the culprits were found guilty of their exploitation of their brethren. So that's the first thought, when anger was right. It leads us to the second thought from verse 9 to 13. And wrong made right. What did Nehemiah do after pointing out the trouble? What went wrong? He counseled them. He counseled them from the word of God. And he calmly spoke to them that they may be directed to walk in the fear of God for the greater good of all in Israel. Verse 9, he said, "It is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the approach of our heathen, of the reproach of our heathen, our enemies?" We already are facing so much problem contending with the enemies without. We can't be losing steam in that work for troubles within. So he said in verse 10, "I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them and corn, I pray you, let us live off this usury." So you see him confronting the offenders directly, but he also, in a way, if you see how he approached it, pleaded with them. Verse 11 says, I pray you, to them even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses also, the 100th part of the money. That's the 12% that we are talking about. And of the corn, the wine, and the oil that he exact of them. He pleaded with the wealthier Jews to let go of the interest charge and show compassion to their brethren. And he received the cooperation of the people. And so you notice how he does it, restore the trouble step by step. In verse 12, it says, "What's the response of the people?" You see how they cooperated. They had to cooperate so that there would be peace, because Nehemiah was spot on. They were guilty. "We will restore them," this man said, "and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest." Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. So Nehemiah solicited the word of the executors to release the debts for these poorer Jews. And so the problem was resolved amicably. How is it that he received the cooperation of the others? Well, you look at the third point, verses 14 to 19. It was undergirded by personal example. Nehemiah testified how he was also in the position to receive taxes from the people as governor, but he did not abuse or misuse his entitlement. He saw that the people were suffering, and he considered the plight of the people, and he saw their heavy financial bondage, and he realized that, no, I must not do anything more to cause any greater burden that they are already bearing. And so you see here a man who had the fear of God in his heart, and all he wanted to do was to sought for God's approval. And indeed, by the result of the whole episode, you see that the Spirit of God was over the congregation, and there was a peaceful settling of the problem. So it is not wrong to be angry over sin. Right? Although the Bible tells us that oftentimes our anger are not what we call righteous anger. Anger that is not appropriate, anger that is sinful. Right? Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. He says that if anger that is prolonged can give ground to Satan to use, right, to exploit. And verse 29 of Ephesians 4 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so you see how Nehemiah conducted himself, the way he approached the people. And then Paul also said, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So sinful anger can grieve the Spirit of God. Right? And anger can be the root of bitterness. Verse 31 of Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So you see, there is the wrong type of anger that we don't want to be associated with. But there is a rightful anger that is in accordance to the will of God, that is accordance to the word of God, that is also appropriate, and that a man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness would be a man who at times would be angry for the right causes. And this was what Nehemiah did. He was a man of action, and he knew that if nothing is done, then trouble would come. But he knew that if he would take action, then he had also to do so correctly. Galatians 6:1. says it's an appropriate text to describe how Nehemiah helped the people, the rich Jews. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He was a man who knew his own weaknesses, and he was very careful that the fear of God was in his heart, and that he would do all things according to the will of God. So you see, Nehemiah was a man who is saturated with the Spirit of God. And that is the kind of life that God wants us to live. And this is the kind of life that God wants us to live out. That the people around us, our families, our colleagues in the workplace, might know and see how life ought to be ordered. Then you'll find that there will be order. Chaos or sin is not allowed to fester. It is dealt with appropriately, promptly, courageously. So Nehemiah was a man of action. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of the word. And today we see how he dealt with sin, righteous anger. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for giving to us thy word tonight concerning how we ought to look at sin and deal with it, not only in our own lives, but to be a brother's keeper in the lives of those around us. Oh God, we realize how weak we are, how sinful we are, and we dare not do anything that is outside thy will. May thou be merciful to cause us to draw close to thee and cleanse us and search our own hearts, that we may indeed do that which is right in thy sight. May thou bless thy people as we go into the time of prayer. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.